you know, as much as we're used to tutoring, you know, you say the T word is one that shall not be named because it's very much antithetical to what Curious Cardinals is. So tell us how you completely changed that. This is not a tutoring company.
One of my favorite examples is Matthew, who came to us as a 10th grader, no idea what he was interested in. But when we asked him, what do you like to do in your free time when no one's telling you what to do? He said, play video games.
Okay.
And his dad rolls his eyes. And we asked him, what if you could learn how to code a video game? And he's like, that'd be pretty cool. So Matthew did kind of an initial learning to code a video game and he was hooked. So he went on to pursue a passion project and spent almost 2 years designing and coding this passion project. He learned animation and designed the whole game. He wow. even sourced a music production mentor-mentee pair to do the music. And he worked with an entrepreneurship mentor to devise a go-to-market strategy. So when he launched the game, he'd actually have players.
Oh my gosh, wow.
It got thousands of players. The game's phenomenal. You have to check it out. It's like more impressive than what peers of mine who are software engineers at Stanford could build.
Okay.
Matthew's now studying engineering at Michigan.
There is no hood like parenthood. Hi, I'm Kanika Chadda Gupta. I'm a former CNN journalist, mom of three, including twins, and host of That's Total Mom Sense, the podcast. Now, if I had a dollar every time I heard, gee, you have your hands full. On my show, I interview change makers on their life lessons, legacy, and superpower of intuition, which I call our mom sense and dad sense. I've had the privilege of working with Mom 2.0, March of Dimes, and the White House, and have had some pretty amazing parents on my show.
Hey, what's up? I'm Kelly Rowland.
Hi, this is Chelsea Clinton.
It's me, Bobby Brown. Can't wait to share my story.
That's Total Mom Sense is a production of the Evergreen Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and on YouTube so you never miss an episode. To join my tribe, visit thatstotalmomsense.com and follow me on Instagram at Kanika Chadda Gupta. Now let's dive in to today's episode.
This episode is for the parents, parents who feel unenthused, underwhelmed, and even vehemently against how our education system has been changing over the decades. There's a change maker out there who aims to provide skills to our kids that they can apply in the real world while honing in on their passions and, of course, keeping their thirst for learning and curiosity intact. Founder and CEO Audrey Wish is a genius in her own right, much like the trailblazers before her, Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, and Mark Zuckerberg. Audrey dropped out of Stanford to found Curious Cardinals. The EdTech company has become a runaway success, mobilizing peers to inspire K through 12 students to discover their passions. With her vision to unlock students' potential through personalized mentorship, she raised $700K in her first year and went on to raise $6.8 million in venture funding. Recognized by Forbes 30 Under 30, and with features on CNN, The Today Show, and having spoken to students worldwide, Audrey aims to unlock student potential through the power of mentorship. Audrey, welcome to That's Total Mom Sense.
Thank you so much for having me today. I'm honored to have a conversation with you.
Oh, the pleasure is all mine. I am a huge fan. I wish I could go back to being a 20-something so we could be besties. Tell us what it was like growing up for you.
My parents are the best. It's funny. I was the third child. So my mom had, I graduated high school in 2019. My sister started kindergarten in 1999, a year before I was born. So my mom had kids from who were in K through 12 from 99 to 2019.
Wow. I know. Hats off to her.
Hats off to her. So in, I think it was 10th grade, she goes to me, I'm kind of done with this mom thing. Can we just be friends?
Yes.
Of course, kidding.
I love that.
It never ends. Yeah, it never ends. But I think that by high school, being an only child, like my parents felt like best friends. And that was really lucky. My mom started something when I was in high school called Culture Sunday. She's in the arts and grew up in Winnipeg, Canada, and was like, you are so lucky to live in New York City. I want you to know how lucky you are. So freshman year, she was like, we're going to go see a museum or something cultural every week. And I was a ninth grader. So I was like, ugh, I'm too busy. and then by 10th grade, I was like, where are we going this week, Mom? And then by senior year, literally my whole friend group came and we thought it was the coolest thing ever. And it was the best Instagram opportunity. So,
So were you like, you know, it's like Guggenheim, Met, Whitney, like that?
Brooklyn Museum, random galleries, like all of it. Like we scoured New York City's art and cultural scene throughout my 4 years of high school. And one of the things I learned, like that's not on my resume, but my knowledge of the arts is so expansive. You can have passions and interests and they don't need to be for the very purpose of putting them on your resume. They can be for intellectual curiosity and appreciation for and zest for life and learning. In seventh grade, sixth grade, I ran like the best mile time in New York State.
Wow. Oh my goodness. That's amazing.
And I got injured and I didn't beat that time till 10th grade.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that's life. That's when there's a curveball, you got to learn how to navigate that.
And you don't have experience to do so in school. I don't know how I look back at myself, and maybe this is what people would think of me now. And I was so resilient. I kept doing my planks. I kept believing, like, I'm going to be there. I'm going to get there. And I wasn't running so well. So it was really just this crazy belief inside. And I would say when I think about my experience as a founder and kind of the courage and tenacity I developed, that experience as a competitive track runner and the resilience it built in me was so foundational.
What was your college application process like? You know, a lot of my peers, we have young kids. We're already thinking about that. I wonder where they're going to go. And I think it's something that's been ingrained in us in society.
I was crazy ambitious and the pressure did not come from my parents. I remember in 11th grade having a freak out of like, if I don't get this score, I don't do this. I can never go to Harvard or Stanford. And my mom being like, you have to relax.
Yeah. Like,
and I am so grateful that the intensity came from me and the like, chill out, relax, like go to bed, take care of yourself, stop doing a million and 10 things came from my parents because it helped kind of set priorities and it helped. I think it also made it easier for me to keep becoming more ambitious. And the teen rebellion is whatever your parents say, you want to do the opposite. So I think that was really helpful when I think about the college application process. And so, as I said, I was a competitive runner. I initially thought I wanted to run in college. And then I had a conversation with my godmother and her husband before in the summer going into my senior year. And he said, do you really want to run professionally? And I was like, I don't think so. And he said, so why are you making a decision about where you want to go to college based on running? And it had been my dream to run in the Ivy League. August before my senior year, I had been talking with the coach at Princeton and he kind of kindly told me no. He was like, you have great grades. Why don't you apply early anyways? And then you can walk on the team. And I was devastated. And I was heartbroken, but this conversation was very helpful. And Stanford had always been a dream, but I knew I couldn't run there. And then in October of senior year, I went to tour. My dad went to Stanford. So part of it too was I had this chip on my shoulder. Like if my dad went there, then it makes it more of his award than mine. And I wanted it to be my own thing. I was like, I've accomplished so much. I want it to be my own thing. And then I toured Stanford in October and flying out to California from New York. I just loved it. I love the sunny California. I love that Stanford felt so innovative. It felt so future facing. I felt like all these Ivy League institutions were kind of moored in the past and clinging to the past and celebrating the past and Stanford celebrating the future. And I was really inspired by that. And I just love the sunshine. And so I made a decision. I need to kind of swallow my pride and apply early to Stanford. And I did. What I will say is when I submitted my application to Stanford, I loved that Stanford had a lot of questions because I felt like I was submitting like the most authentic representation of Audrey. And that felt good in a process that's very cutthroat.
That brings me to, you know, your first year at Stanford. So how did that go? I know it was COVID times.
Yeah. So I was a history major because I wanted to be the next Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I really gravitated towards Marcus Garvey's quote, a people without its history is like a tree without its roots. And I was very passionate about learning the history of marginalized people, the history that wasn't taught in school. I was part of an organization called ABLA, where I taught English to members of the janitorial staff. I would go at 10 p.m. and meet Maria in the biology building. And it was just the favorite part of my week. I loved it. And I joined that out of a passion for immigration. The summer before Stanford, I was translating I-5 and asylum forms for Hispanic refugees. What kept me through it was the connection I was developing with Maria and how much I loved learning teaching. I didn't realize how much I heard out about learning teaching. And then another pivotal part of my freshman year was joining Estelle Friedman's Intro Sem. That's a class you have to apply for on the history of the feminist critique. And that was so empowering. I did not realize how empowering it was, just as I had said that Marcus Garvey quote, to learn women's history and be able to understand from a historical sense how to contextualize and make sense of gender inequity and disparities. And the pandemic broke out and we were sent home. And I thought it would be a week. I thought I'd be back on for the research seminar. And it looked like I had to head back home to New York. And I really missed ABLA. I missed that impact I felt like I was making very tangibly twice a week at campus. So I decided to start tutoring kids.
You know, as much as we're used to tutoring, you know, you say the T word is one that shall not be named because it's very much antithetical to what Curious Cardinals is. So tell us how you completely changed that. This is not a tutoring company.
So it started with working with these kids with what they were learning in school. And I was meant to be a tutor. I had reached out to a bunch of families. I said, here's my resume. Who wants some tutoring help from a history major at Stanford? When I asked this seventh grade girl what she was learning in history class, and she was learning about Supreme Court cases. So I got so excited.
Right.
She did not match my excitement. She was like, yeah. And so I said, okay, tell me about one of the cases you're learning. And she said, okay, we're learning about TLO versus New Jersey. And I said, tell me more. And that's a case that has to do with reasonable suspicion versus probable cause standard with search and seizure in schools. And she starts responding like, la-di-da-di-da, and schools act in loco parentis. I'm like, she doesn't even know what that means. And right. I said, do you know what the school-to-prison pipeline is? She said, no, what's that? I said, do you know what in-school policing is? She said, what's that? And I had this light bulb moment that, of course, she's so utterly disengaged. She doesn't even know the context that makes her learning matter.
Right.
And so I said to her, okay, can I give you some extra homework? And she was like, okay. I think she was almost like caught off guard by how bored and dulled she felt with the learning and how excited and curious I felt. And I said, can you watch this documentary and this podcast? And that's how it started. It was like, she's so disengaged and she doesn't have to be. I am very excited about what she's learning, but she's being taught it in a way that doesn't actually engage her critical thinking or her curiosity. And right. So I wanted to empower her with the context so then we could come back. And after she had the context, I could ask, okay, now tell me what you think about this case.
Yes.
That's how it started. It was really, I want to make learning feel like it matters to these kids. And I'm not their tutor because I'm not just going to help them do well on Friday's test. Sure, that's going to be a byproduct of it, but I'm going to help spark a flame of curiosity and excitement for learning for life.
And when you came up with this concept, tell us from the beginning.
It started so organically. I'm a super connector. It's like this compulsive urge I have. I've now matched 15 mentors to employers or interns. So we've gotten 15 mentors through the generosity of our community have gotten jobs from Curious Cardinals. It's not part of Curious Cardinals formally yet, but I just have this compulsive urge to make matches when I see two people that will really benefit from being connected. And so it was me working with these kids, and then the kid asked for math and Alec came into the picture, and then a kid asked for biology and they were Indian, actually. And I said, oh my God, my best friend is my TA in human behavioral biology, and he's Indian, and he loves biology, and he's going to make your student who's struggling in this subject make come to life. And Ashwin, I texted, he was like, oh, I'd love to help this kid in biology. And he was one of the founding mentors who then ended up spending that first COVID gap year building Curious Cardinals with us. And I remember too, Ashwin was my TA, and he was my pre-orientation spot leader. So I also felt that like, oh my God, Ashwin's so cool and smart. He's a senior I look up to. I can't believe he wants to join this community and be part of this. Yes. And so I kind of feeling that way because all these Stanford kids, peers from high school and other chapters of my life coming and being like, can I join? How do I sign up? And more families coming and saying, can I get this kid started? Can I get this kid started? And then how it kind of officially formed, because we both had internships that summer, was in the wake of Black Lives Matter movement with George Floyd and Breonna Taylor's murder. My students on both sides of the country were asking me questions, and they were wondering, why aren't we taught this? And why is this happening? And so I started creating resource guides, and I kind of thought, what if I just put together a course? The course that I wish I had as a high schooler. And what if we raise the money for Equal Justice Initiative? And I acknowledged you, I've never been incarcerated, but we're on Zoom. So I'm going to invite someone who's been formerly incarcerated. And I'm going to reach out to Harvard Law Professor Randall Kennedy. And he ended up being a guest speaker. And so I decided I'm going to teach this class. And my other peers at Stanford were losing summer internships and jobs and looking for some way to make money, but also to do something meaningful. And so everyone was coming our way, like, can I sign up? Can I teach a class? And so it just got started as a COVID summer passion project. And so then that fall of 2020, we moved into what we called the Cardinal Crib. The day before we moved in, I was on CNN, which I had no idea how big of a deal that was. And we just thought, you know, why would we be at Stanford in this year? Let's do something meaningful. Let's inspire kids. Let's empower our college peers. And never thought that I would never go back or what this would kind of take off and turn into, but that's how it started. And then that first year we had generated over 700K in revenue between just kind of the two of us running this super scrappily. And we realized maybe there's a business here. yes. And then when we wanted to take it to the next level, we knew we can't do this alone. We need to surround ourselves with amazing people who acquire the experience and expertise that we lack. And so in order to bring people on board, we had to raise venture funding to get them comfortable with joining two young people and to be able to make sure we had money in the bank to pay them. And kind of before we knew it, it went from COVID gap year college kid passion project to something real, something that we were going to be investing time and other people were going to be investing time and leaving sturdy company jobs to join us.
And so how does it work? And I feel like, you know, it was great to be able to go through the process with you because it was very thorough in how you assess who each of my kids were, their personality types, anecdotes, the interests that they have in school, out of school. And then you can tailor like a, you know, project-based or whatever around that. So tell us that whole process.
Most people find out about us through friends. We have a very vibrant community. So we have a lot of community events that happy parents host, podcasts or social media. But it's a lot of word of mouth referral. It's a lot of like friends telling friends and being very excited. So the first way you want to get started, you go to our website and you press get matched for free or get started. And we encourage you to sign up for a consultation call because that's really where the magic begins. We lead with curiosity and we want to develop a holistic understanding of your student. Even if you're saying your kid lacks confidence in math and you just want some math help, we still want to know what environments they thrive in and what's their greatest superpower and who's the type of person they look up to. So you have a consultation call with our amazing team. And we, as I said, aim to really develop a holistic understanding of who your child is so that we can support them accordingly and make a really meaningful match. From there, we do our matchmaking magic and come back to you with a mentor recommendation. And if all looks good with the student profile and the learning proposal and the mentor recommendation, we go ahead and make that match and you're off to the races and begin your learning journey. And our dream is to be able to support kids from kindergarten to 12th grade outside of the school system to be able to help them achieve their goals up level, be the best version of themselves. And so that's one of the things we're working on in building our tech platform is we want to know your child better than anyone. And we want to be able to support them and curate learning experiences and inspiration and guidance in the most meaningful and thoughtful way accordingly.
And tell us about the variety of subjects that they can get into at such a young age.
The two main things are academic mentorship, where yes, tutoring is a T word because tutoring has a connotation of being transactional, like a remedy for Friday's test. And this is so much greater than that. And so we have students coming to us for academic mentorship across topics, whether that's humanities or writing help. Executive function is super popular. We just collaborated with Canva to build a special executive function course. There's kind of pathfinding and different interest learning. So maybe your kid wants to learn to code, or they want to learn creative writing, or they want to learn about AI and its applications. And there's just an opportunity and a forum to explore, because exposure is everything. You only know so much as what you've been exposed to. And then the passion project is like our very exciting offering, where students work with a mentor to say, okay, I have a passion in XYZ thing. Typically, kids are only familiar with doing something that's been assigned to them by a teacher that's due next Friday for Friday's test. So to have agency, to be in the driver's seat and get to decide what they're working on and assigning it to themselves, and then learning that great things take time. This is going to be a 12 to 24 month process, and I'm going to have obstacles and failures along the way, but that's going to be okay. I'm going to learn from them and I'm going to keep going. So empowering. So one of my favorite examples is Matthew, who came to us as a 10th grader, no idea what he was interested in. But when we asked him, what do you like to do in your free time when no one's telling you what to do? He said, play video games. And his dad rolls his eyes. And we asked him, what if you can learn how to code a video game? And he's like, that'd be pretty cool. So Matthew did kind of an initial learning to code a video game, and he was hooked. So he went on to pursue a passion project and spent almost 2 years designing and coding this passion project. He learned animation and designed the whole game. He even sourced a music production mentor-mentee pair to do the music. And he worked with an entrepreneurship mentor to devise a go-to-market strategy. So when he launched the game, he'd actually have players.
Oh my gosh, wow.
It got thousands of players. The game's phenomenal. You have to check it out. It's like more impressive than what peers of mine who are software engineers at Stanford could build.
Okay.
Matthew's now studying engineering at Michigan.
Wow. Wow. And so for the parents that are tuning in, tell us what the course duration is and the fees and like how they sign up for their kids.
You come to the website, you sign up for a consultation call to speak with our team so we can come up with your student profile and personalized learning plan and recommendation to start. We typically start with milestone. So there's like a 10 session first milestone, and then we evaluate progress and outcomes and make a transition. But we are moving to subscription model, because the way we're seeing Curious Cardinals is at its best is meeting weekly and being kind of a baked in part of your learning journey. And so that will be that we're really excited to launch that and just kind of embrace the user behavior that we're seeing to be most impactful, which is like Curious Cardinals is just another part of your week, and it evolves as your child evolves and grows. You can get started any time of the year, but of course, get started in January. So you can do January to May. And then we work on a seasonal basis. So there's back to school season is huge for us, then kind of the January to May, winter, spring season, and then summer. And so we're also coordinating specialized workshops and programming for summer this year, which we're very excited about. It's $95 per hour. And you can sign up on the website. And if you have questions or you want to learn more, check us out on Instagram, Curious Cardinals, LinkedIn, our website. Follow us, engage with us. And we have lots of opportunities to come to virtual events and in-person events to get to know us and engage with our community.
I did want to ask you how you feel AI is going to change the game. I mean, and I feel like we're just kind of scraping the surface, but eventually it's going to be so integrated into how our kids learn.
I didn't know much. I didn't even hop on the bandwagon when ChatGPT first launched in October of last year. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do 15 minutes a day. I'm just going to play around and get familiar and understand how this can provide value for me and hopefully our students. I started doing that in January. Now it is 11 months later, and I work like crazy, like 12 to 15 hour days. I use AI in every hour of my working day. It has changed my life. And so it's phenomenal what it can do for educators to raise the bar for how we teach kids. we can change how we assess learning and evaluate competencies and outcomes with learning. We can change personalization. There's just a million and 10 ways that we can leverage AI to raise the bar for how we educate and inspire and excite kids. And so one of the things that I've been doing is trying to demystify that fear and skepticism. I've been teaching workshops on how to use AI and how AI is going to change K-12 education to parents. And now I'm talking to schools and potentially going to be doing that for educators as well. And I would say that there is, of course, always a lot to be afraid of, but there's so much to be excited about here. And I would think about how you can get comfortable with AI and get excited about ways your child can use it to unlock creativity and get excited about learning.
Tell us about a mentor that you look up to.
A recent one that has been so impactful for me is this amazing woman named Alexa von Tobel. And she is very busy. She's a founder who has exited and now runs an amazing fund and a podcast herself. And this is similar with my other amazing mentor who I speak about a lot. What I appreciate so much is how honest she is with me. Candor, I always say it's not brutal honesty, it's candor with care. And she will tell me the feedback and what I can do better. And I always say, like, that is just the greatest gift. And the only reason she's being so honest with me, such a busy woman, is because she believes in me. You are the sum of who you surround yourself with. And I love surrounding myself with people who are paving their own path and being bold and putting themselves out there and are okay to embrace failure. They just keep going. And all they can do is move forward.
I love that. I love that. I know there was another one you mentioned, the founder of Ancestry.com.
Do you want to hear that story?
Yeah, I do. You know, because I love that you're a history major. And of course, you met someone who created a whole company about finding about your personal history.
Yeah.
So it's great. So, it's just,
yes, I thought was so cool as a history major, as a CEO of Ancestry. And I got 15 minutes on her calendar. My co-founder burst into the room because 15 minutes turned to 45 minutes and was like, how did it go? And I looked at him and I said, I feel like Tuna after a haircut. Tuna is my really fluffy dog who's super tiny and very fluffy. And she usually goes from like flaunting her fluffy fur, looking very confident. But after a haircut, she literally looks like a naked mole rat.
Yeah.
So I was like,
I know exactly what you're talking about because we had a silky terrier and same thing. When he's wet, it's just like,
and you
gone.
I was like, I feel Tuna after a haircut. Like Tuna feels like they can see how small I am and I don't look as fluffy as I usually do. So I was like, damn, she ripped into me. And then later that day, I get a text from our investor, like, great job, Audrey. Looks like you left a good impression. And he sends me a tweet. And Deb Liu had tweeted, just met a 20-year-old founder, wish I had half her courage and vision, what a rock star. Mentors who give you that honesty glimpse your full potential and how lucky I was to be connected to her. And someone so busy would not turn a 15-minute call into a 45-minute call if she didn't believe in me. And so I think I look up to people that, when you get the little kind of like butterflies, like, oh my God, I want to leave a good impression. You want to prove yourself. I can be my authentic self. And they'll reciprocate with honesty because they believe in me.
Okay. I want to play a rapid fire game with you. And this is a play on your last name, Wish. So I want to hear some of your wishes. What is a wish that you have for the future of our education system?
K-12 education is a one-size-fits-all solution. I wish for an education system that champions individuality, allows for personalization, and rather than taking people down, harming mental health, taking away confidence, one that elevates and lifts up and makes kids feel capable.
And what's a wish that you have for yourself, something that you really aspire to do, and it could be personal or professional?
I wish to continue expanding our impact. And that means with how many students and we're serving and how many mentors get to be part of this phenomenal community and have the pride of having this be their meaningful part-time job. Since we started, we've had a financial aid program. And I wish for a world in which every child, no matter their background, can have a Curious Cardinals mentor.
A wish for you to meet someone dead or alive and have your own heart-to-heart with them. Who would that be?
Sarah Blakely. Sarah Blakely is a dream founder, mentor. She has kids that I want to get Curious Cardinals mentors. But really what I love about her is her fearlessness. I always say one of our core values at Curious Cardinals is representation matters. You are what you can see. And she really has paved the way for future female founders to not just take the risk and be bold, but also be unapologetically themselves. I love her quirkiness and her joy for life and her vulnerability. And I remember when I started Curious Cardinals and when we first hired our full-time people, I wear like rainbow socks with like motivational phrases on them. Mm-hmm. I have a colorful green backpack. I'm always wearing bright colors. And I remember that first time when I was meeting our first employees in person, I was like, shoot, like, do I need to buy like white normal socks? Like, do I need to wear like colorful clothes? And I realized, no, that's you, Audrey. That's what makes you Audrey. And I think Sarah Blakely's a leader that has made me feel that even more, that like all your quirks, all your silliness, and all the things that what you grow up learning as a founder and CEO, maybe you don't fit in the box. Like she has shown, just as our education system puts people in these boxes, that you don't have to be put in these boxes to be an impactful leader and build an extraordinary company.
Oh, I love that. And what is your wish for everyone in the world right now?
To lead with curiosity and to have empathy for others. Our designer, Paola, once said, assume miscommunication, not malice. And I will say it's easy to look on social media and no matter what side you stand on, to assume malice and to be hurt or angry by others. And my approach is always to lead with curiosity. What knowledge do they know? What perspective are they coming from? Maybe they have a family member, an XYZ side. Maybe they don't know this aspect of history. And so I hope we all can lead with more curiosity and exhibit more compassion for one another.
I completely agree. And is there a quote that you live by?
Thomas Edison's quote, "I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work." And really? I always am saying to our team, all you can do is move forward. But in saying that, I say, what did we learn from this? And now let's move forward. And so I think that's something I carry with me every day and try to radiate with the people on my team or that I surround myself with.
Yeah, this show is That's Total Mom Sense, our built-in sixth sense. It's our intuition. Can you tell me a time where you trusted that intuition of yours? And I feel like it's in everything you do.
I think pursuing Curious Cardinals, sometimes I pinch myself. Yeah. I'm like, how did I leave Stanford? I can't believe I went off this track and did this thing. And I think that it's been this like gravitational force and pull since the beginning of like, there's something really, really special here. There's a real magic and I need to do whatever I can to bring it into the world and to bring it to more students because it's going to make a really positive impact. So I would just say that, and that's definitely, it's funny and ironic as a history major that I'm like, all you can do is move forward. I am one that wants to learn from the past in order to inform moving forward. But I think that that's what drives me every day is this like intuition and inner voice within me that like, this is something really special and it's not going to be easy and there's going to be obstacles along the way, but just keep chugging.
Yes. Oh, amazing. Lastly, where can my listeners find you and get involved with Curious Cardinals for the long haul?
CuriousCardinals.com. Find our website. Follow us on Instagram at Curious Cardinals. I post a lot on LinkedIn too about all of our insights and thoughts. Subscribe to our newsletter. We hope you join us and join our community. And even if you follow on Instagram or the newsletter, we will invite you to events and more ways to get connected to our team at Curious Cardinals.
Oh, they're joining. They're joining. I'm so, so happy to have had you on to share your story. I think it's always the founder story that resonates and connects us to the greater why. And I can't thank you enough for creating a platform for all of our kids, students to thrive. Thank you so much, Audrey.
Thank you for your time and for creating space for me to share my story and have me on your incredible show.
I am so glad that I met the founder of Curious Cardinals, Audrey Wish. And as I mentioned during our chat, my kids absolutely love their mentors. They've learned so much, and you can't replace this kind of enrichment with school curriculum. There's no doubt about it. To learn more and to sign your kids up, visit curiouscardinals.com. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and review, and share it with your friends. The more that parents circulate great content with one another, the more the show grows and we're helping each other out. You can follow me on Instagram at Kanika Chadda Gupta and on YouTube. Just type in That's Total Mom Sense and you'll find all the videos there. You can also visit my website, thatstotalmomsense.com. Remember, always trust your mom sense and dad sense. Stay strong, super parents. I'll see you next time.